So the title of my sermon this morning is Buying Vegetables Does Not Make You Healthy. I would love to say that I came up with that title all on my own, but I did not. Several years ago, I was at a Lifespan Faith Development Conference on Star Island where Meg Barnhouse was the theme speaker. And if you haven't had a chance to read any of her writings, you should. She's a Unitarian Universalist minister, writer, and singer. She said those words in one of her talks, and they have stuck with me all these years. In fact, they have become a bit of a saying between my husband and myself as we maneuver our way through life, setting goals and making and keeping resolutions with a varying amount of success. It is not surprising that our theme for this month is intention. January is the month when many of us set goals for the year. I took a week of study leave between Christmas and New Year's to do just that, planning the second half of the program year, evaluating how I use my time, looking seriously at my spiritual practice, pondering how it could be done better. Perhaps you did something like that too. Or maybe not, and that's okay. Me, I like to set goals. Even if I don't make them, I still like to set them. On the Myers-Briggs scale, I am an INFJ, introverted, intuitive, feeling judger. And if you don't know what the Myers-Briggs scale is, it's really okay. But what's important to know about that personality type for me is that the INFJ people, we love to make plans. And we make plans about plans and backup plans for the plans about plans. So I really like setting goals because that means I have a plan. My husband has learned, because he's not much of a plan maker naturally, he's learned to make fake plans just to make me happy. I would rather set a goal and only get to 75% of it than not set a goal at all. Or set a goal that is too small by my standards. I have a close friend who much prefers to set smaller goals and exceed them. Neither one is better or worse than the other. It's probably just better to know which one suits you. Making plans, setting goals, being intentional, much of it has to do with who you are and what kind of personality you have and how you function in the world. I don't think there is only one good way to set intentions. But I do think that for most of us, simply buying the vegetables does not make one healthy. And in case you think that this idea of improving oneself or setting goals is some kind of 20th century post-industrial thing, let me lift up for you Benjamin Franklin. In 1726, at the age of 20, Benjamin Franklin created a system to develop his character. It even had a chart attached to it. Habit tracking before bullet journals were a thing. My heart sang when I saw his chart, because a chart has all the good things of many plans rolled into one. The 13 virtues that he wanted to track were these: temperance, silence, order, resolution, frugality, industry, sincerity, justice, moderation, cleanliness, tranquility, chastity, and humility. Interestingly, when I think of Ben Franklin, I don't think he had all of these characteristics. Sometimes we seek that which we don't have, right? But this being intentional is nothing new, and the idea of improving ourselves, self-help, is not new either. And yet, the self-help industry does not seem to have yet transformed human nature. I know I have said this before, but it seems to me like if the self-help books were really that successful, it would be a much smaller section in Barnes & Noble. It is seemingly human nature to set out intentions and not do them. Even with that knowledge, though, I am an optimist. I believe in the human spirit. I believe in humanity. I know we can behave badly, but I also know that there is a really strong desire in us to behave better and to make this world better. I am the mother to 3 adult children, all of whom fall somewhere in the millennial group. I see them working hard for themselves to not only make a life for themselves, but to make this world a better place. Whether it is through political action or choosing careers that help others. None of them expect a handout, and all of them are trying to be contributive, even in the face of some really difficult economics. Millennials get a lot of bad press, but what I see with my kids, my adult kids, and their friends, is that they are trying hard, really hard, and it gives me hope. It is human nature to strive to better ourselves. It is in our DNA to set intentions. And if we want to be healthy, we have to do a bit more than simply buy the vegetables. Intention, coming from the Latin word intentiomen, intention literally means stretching out, a stretching out of mind or heart, of body and spirit. When we set an intention, we are turning our attention toward something or someone or some idea and stretching out to meet it, which is a good thing. An intention needs a little help to get to reality. Carrie Newhoff is a motivational writer whose blog I follow. Recently, he wrote on moving from intention to action. And he writes primarily for ministers, but I think much of what he says is applicable in other places. He says, intention needs a plan. So you can see why I like this guy. I can buy the vegetables, but without an idea or a plan on how I will cook them and eat them, they are really likely to sit in my fridge until they are some gross science experiment and I must throw them away. So strategies help. What else gets in the way? My priorities can get hijacked. It's all well and good for me to buy the vegetables and bring them home and find a recipe for them and set a time to cook them. But then my 15-year-old comes home and needs a ride to the store to get supplies for the project that really should have been done 2 weeks ago and now is critically due tomorrow. My priority was to cook the vegetables and eat them. And now, if I say yes to my child to ensure that she passes her class, my priority has been hijacked. I like Carrie's writing because he is mostly speaking to ministers, but his thoughts are applicable to others. He wrote, if you're a preacher, and this is actually really true, if you're a preacher, nobody emails you or texts you to say, that was a killer message you wrote. Nobody cancels their meeting with you and says, just thought you should have some more prep time. It is too true. I am, and each of us are, responsible for juggling our own priorities and protecting them. I cannot depend on other people to say, that's your priority, you take care of it. Another way I might not reach my intention is I might add intentions, but never subtract them. It is so easy to add and add and add to the to-do list and the yearly goals. And yet it is true that one can only do so much in one day, in one week, in one life. I still want to eat those vegetables, but what if I simply add that intention to the others so that I want to eat more vegetables and exercise more and spend more time with family, see friends, read books, travel more? You can see how it starts to be overwhelming. And then, I don't know about you, but I tend to shut down or make an excuse as to why it didn't get done. I think this is what happens to my friend who would rather have a more modest set of goals. They know they get overwhelmed a bit easily, and so it's just easier to deal with a smaller goal. Also, one way I may not reach my intentions is I may not address my patterns. I want to eat more vegetables, and so I buy them. That's one pattern addressed. But I don't think about what patterns I have around food. If all I ever do is grab food without thinking or planning and simply eat what is in front of me, then probably I won't eat the vegetables that take more prep. But if I take some time and maybe slice up the broccoli beforehand or make a salad that's ready to go or slice the carrots, I might grab them first before the hard cheese. But usually I have to put the hard cheese at the back of the fridge. That helps a lot. And this kind of leads to Carrie's last point. I may not pay attention to my time and how I use it. If I use it without thinking and I don't plan, there's that word again, I don't create time for this new intention and this new pattern. I guess what I'm trying to get at here is that living with intentionality is different than having an intention. I am at the grocery store without a list, a plan, as it were. I buy the vegetables on a whim. Suddenly, I have the intention of eating them and becoming healthier. But I think to move from intention to intentionality takes practice and repetition and failure. And we need to break it down into doable bits. I've been talking about vegetables, but really it applies to anything, doesn't it? Except maybe chocolate. Somehow if you buy chocolate, it gets eaten. There's no problem. People I talked to recently, many of them are feeling a bit overwhelmed. There seems to be so much pain, so much violence, so many injustices. Here we are at the anniversary of Trump's inauguration. Sometimes it's hard to move forward, but it is still true. How we live out our principles can change the world. I struggle with this all the time. I hold it up as my vision. I believe it, and I still struggle with it. I want the world to be better. I want to be part of the solution. And my perfectionism leads me to believe that I must be the catalyst for world peace and justice. But that is my ego getting in the way. Because really, if this world is to be better, it starts with me and you and all of us working together, making small changes and practicing those changes over and over and over again. So much as I like big goals, I'm going to suggest that you don't set your intention to create world peace or end racial injustice, because you will burn out and give up. There is a rather low-key and highly satirical YouTube video that has been around entitled "The Man Who Ate a Car." In this, if you haven't seen it, you should take a look at it. It is very low-key and highly satirical. In this video, he says, "This is a long-term activity. Look, it took 5 years. I ate my first two lug nuts on December 30th, 1990. Finished the last piece of the clutch housing on February 14th, 1995. He also says that 75% of the pieces of a car are no bigger than an Oreo. The secret is to get the piece you want to eat to be small or smaller than an Oreo. Obviously, this is a parody of self-help videos. Obviously, eating a car is not good advice. But breaking your goals or intentions down into doable bits is good advice. So say your goal is to make the world better. That's hard. What does it mean? How do you measure it? How do you know when you have done it? What about instead set your intention to be that the first 5 people you meet each day, you will be respectful and kind to? Do that every day and see how it changes you and how you change the world around you. What would it mean if you took an extra minute each with those 5 people and had a real conversation? Think about what that takes to do that also. Does that mean that you need to get more sleep? Do you need to say, okay, the first person won't count because I haven't had my coffee yet, but I'll start with the second one. Do you need to plan your morning out the day before so that you're not so harried? You must make room for the intention. Change some behavior. Expect that you won't achieve 100%, and affirm any and all forward and positive movement to make your intention into action. This is how change happens. It always has, and it always will. In a world without end, may this be so.